everybody doing this morning? Good. Sorry about that. Just let me get situated. Let's just bow our heads and go before the Lord in prayer just for a few moments just before I get into the word. Father, we just thank you today, God, for everything that you're doing, Lord. We thank you that all the generations are represented here today, Father, and we thank you for what you're wanting to do. And God, we just turn this service over to you, Father, the next few moments. God, I ask that you would speak to us your word. And Father, I just thank you for the power of your word, that it changes us and transforms us and changes lives. And we just thank you for that. And everybody said, amen. So awesome to be here today. I'm a little excited about this service because I have more time. Last service was rushed. And, you know, I really enjoy this service every year. How many of you have been to more than one bike to school rally that we do every year? Amen. I think it's so important, and I think it's very important that we don't view this as just a routine thing that we do, because even as I was sitting here watching the kids, when you really think about the generations being represented here today, you have four generations represented in one service. And there's something powerful about that. Would you agree? The Bible says, let one generation declare to another the glory of God. Amen? Can I share with you just a thought? It just hit me as I was sitting there, the power of that. And I was thinking, okay, what does that mean? You know, many times, like when we share stories, I don't have children yet, but many, you know, I have a father, and many of you have children, and there's parents, children, all kinds, you know, relatives here. And many times when we're sharing stories with people in our family, or our parents are sharing stories with us, a lot of times it's like, you know, well, you know, in high school, I was like the baseball captain or the football captain. I rocked in high school, or I used to do this or that. And that's all good, but see, there's a testimony that you're supposed to tell the next generation about. See, Abraham told Isaac about what God had done for him. Then Isaac told Jacob what God had done for him. And then Jacob, could you imagine being Jacob and telling your 12 sons that you wrestled with God? You see, there's power when one generation tells another generation about what God has done for them. Amen? And I just think that this service is so important because all the generations of this church are represented here. And I think there's power in that. And I just want to say, as a youth pastor here, this is one of the few times a year that I get to thank and acknowledge the parents and the grandparents, and I know Sister Kathy and all the other ministries feel the same way. Your role is so very important, and we are not a substitute for what you do at home. We're here to help you do what you do at home. Amen? I believe very strongly that the family is the strongest ministry on the planet. Would you agree with that? And so today, with those things in mind, you know, our theme is a back-to-school rally, and I'm going to present to you a word. Mainly, obviously, my target audience today is the youth and young adults who are headed back into school. But also, this is very much for the parents, because how many know that parenting is a responsibility given by God to train a child in the way that they should go? So this word is just as much for the parents and grandparents in here, because you help facilitate this. And so if you would allow me just for a few moments just to speak to you, my subject today is the power of light. Say light. You know, and today as I was thinking about what to share, and, you know, I don't know how many young people are present. And when I say young people, I'm talking middle school, high school, and even young adults, college, career. You know, I could talk to you about success and achieving your dreams and all those things, which I believe in that. But today I felt, more importantly, to challenge the young people spiritually. Because I believe that, you know, I work with a lot of these young people. There's no doubt in my mind that they're going to succeed. We have some incredible young people in our church. Would you agree with that? I think it's also very important that we define to the generation, my generation, the younger generations, what success really is. Because to me, success is more about who you become than what you achieve. Amen? To me, success is defined as obedience to God. Because your journey looks different than my journey, and where God's calling me may be different than where God's calling you. Vocations and professions look different. But at the end of the day, obedience is simply obeying God. Would you agree with that? And if we're not careful, we'll lose sight of that. We'll make success about everything else and miss the God factor in all of this. That there's a reason for why we succeed in life. Amen. So bring glory to his name. So with that in mind, this is what the Lord has put in my heart today. We're sending our young people back to college campuses. And how many of you would agree that school campuses have become some of the darkest places in our country? Our country, sad to say, is not the same country it was even 100 years ago, 50 years ago, 20 years ago, even 10 years ago. There is an all-out assault on our faith and on the Word of God, even in schools. You know, we've gone from having the Ten Commandments in our court systems to taking them out because it offends people, having prayer in school, and now we don't have prayer in school. See, we're sending our children, our youth, the generations, into a place where there's a spirit of the age, which that just simply means there's an antichrist spirit. It's not just a person, it's a spirit. And what that means is it's just antichrist. It's anti-God. It's anti the word of God. The system is designed to take God out of everything that we do. Would you agree with that? So we're sending our children into a dark places. And the challenge that they have, and I mean, I can speak for myself, and many of you can speak for just growing up. When a young person is put into these type of environments, when you go to school, you know, you're looking to fit in. You're looking for identity. You're looking to find out who you are. And what happens many times is we will compromise to fit in instead of standing out and shining. And I'm talking about the power of light today. And can we put up John chapter 1, verse 5? You know, this week, I think one of the most important things for my generation and all the generations is to know who Jesus is. Because not only is there an attack on the Word of God and on God himself, but there's an attack on the identity of who Jesus is. You know, I'm a youth pastor, so I'm very familiar with the statistics. Up to 60% of young people don't believe that Jesus was sinless. Many young people believe Jesus was married. Many young people don't believe he was God. They believe he's just a good teacher with good morals, like he's a philosopher. And one thing that we have to stress to this generation is Jesus is not any of those things. He's not a philosopher. He's not just some man with good morals. He's not just some guy who's famous. He's not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. I can assure you if Jesus was here today, he would be the opposite of what many of us think he would be. Amen? There's a real need to understand who Jesus is. And it needs to be taught and said, and this can't be stressed enough, that Jesus is God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, and I'm going to read the previous verses there. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Say, with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light. Say, light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. This is an incredible scripture. I think out of all the scriptures in the New Testament, this explains the deity of Jesus the best. I love this scripture because it's always fascinated me. And honestly, I could stay here in these few verses, and we could just preach on this all day. Because there's so many implications here. But I want you to see the connection between the word that's being used in here. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So before Jesus took flesh, okay? He was in eternity, he was in the form of the Word. In Hebrew, we call it the Devar. In Greek, it's Logos. But so before Jesus took on flesh, he was the Word of God. And the Bible says that God is spirit, right? Now, what's important to realize about that is that you cannot separate God's Word and his spirit because they are the same thing. So I'll just give you a simple illustration. If you were to talk and put your hand in front of your mouth, you're hearing words come out, but you're feeling your breath. Because along with words, you couldn't speak words without having breath. Breath gives life to the words that you're speaking. So it says that he spoke and there was light. God's word is his light. His light is his word. And so this is what it says. In John, this is verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. It's incredible to think about who Jesus really is. You know, Jesus is God. And this generation needs to understand who he is. And not only that, we've got to get back to the importance of God's word. Because there's something taking place in my generation, and this is what I've come to stress today. You know, as a youth pastor, as, you know, working with that age group, the greatest need that I see is this. Young people look at the church, and they see the traditional church. And how many of you would agree that many of us in here, maybe you've had bad experiences with religion? Has anyone ever had a bad experience with religion? Been hurt in church? Been offended in church? Bad taste? But, amen? So young people have seen the negative effects of when religion goes bad. So what happens is, you know, the pendulum swings, but sometimes it swings too far to the other side. So now there's an attack on the Word of God. It's like this. When we have a struggle sometimes because when we tell young people about what the Word of God teaches, they'll say, oh, you're just being religious. Or you're just being legalistic. Because, see, much of the world has experienced the negative side effects of religion. Am I making sense here? Religion is simply this. Religion takes away and adds to the Word of God and puts bondage on people. And they don't want that. But the problem is there's a generation that's almost living in compromise because they don't want that, but they're not understanding that the truth of God is not a yoke, it's freedom. You see, when Jesus asks us to give up control of our lives, it's because he's trying to teach us self-control. So the challenge we have with this generation is teaching them the importance of the Word of God, because you cannot separate God from his Word. As a matter of fact, when you look at the Scriptures, you're looking at God. That's what Jesus was. When Jesus showed up, he was God in the flesh. He was the written Word of God. He literally was God in the flesh, and it says that the whole world beheld his glory. And what's happening in my generation is there's an expression of Christianity with the mouth, but there's a disconnect between how we're living. Because there's a generation that wants to know the love of God, the power of God. But they don't want the religion. And what we have to teach them is we're not giving them religion. We're giving them the life, the light, and the power of God through his word. Amen. See, because when we're sending our youth into dark places, we have to teach them how to be light. The only way we can do that is to establish his word in their hearts. This is what David said in Psalms 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So the enemy has tried his hardest to keep this generation out of the Bible. I can tell you that my generation is pretty much Bible illiterate. So that's why I'm employing to all of the parents and grandparents in this room, we have got to establish the Word of God in our homes. And teach and teach the generations that following Christ is not just a confession of the mouth. You know, a lot of the ways that I've done ministry has changed. I've realized that many times I've led people through the sinner's prayer before they were ready to be led through the sinner's prayer. I've led people through the sinner's prayer that really actually needed a lot more follow-up and discipling and one-on-one time. Because, see, there's more to following Jesus than just saying, I believe he's my Savior, and praying one prayer. It goes far beyond a confession. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. And my concern is that my generation has a mixture of too much of the world's doctrine and trying to mix the two. And what they need to be shown is what the Word of God means and what it means to follow Jesus. And as a matter of fact, Jesus said this, if you love me, you will obey me. How we show our love for God is through our obedience. How many times did God tell Israel, your lips praise me, but your hearts are far from me? See, the enemy wants to keep this generation out of the Word of God, because this is what Leonard Ravenhill said. A man that reads the Bible stops sinning, but a sinning man stops reading the Bible. See, that's why this generation has so much perversion and mixture, because the Word of God needs to be taught. It's not enough to have an experience with God in worship. His Word has to go in us and take root in us. The Word has to become flesh in us the same way it did in Jesus. But you see, so to walk in light, they have to be taught the light. We have to teach our young people, listen, when you go into dark places, don't be intimidated, because greater is he in you than he that is in the world. And If there's any science buffs in here, you know this. Albert Einstein, who believed in God, he said everything is energy, everything. The negative thoughts, the positive thoughts, the words you speak, everything you're doing right now is energy. Whether you realize it right now, there's energy pulsating from your body. I know energy is a term used by New Age movements. Don't be afraid of that word. That's just a term. Literally, if you were to see the physics around you, there's energy pulsating from you. That's why it's powerful to watch what you think. And to watch what you say. But light carries energy. And so what happens is, we have to teach our young people, when you step into a dark place, whether you see it or not, you're sending out a signal. When you send out a signal, this world that we think is natural is way more supernatural than we realize. Because who wrote physics? God did. And actually, light travels, everyone knows this in science, that light travels is the most fast-traveling thing that exists in physics. It's at, we always say, at the speed of light. We have to teach our young people to understand that when they walk in light, they put out a signal that the supernatural principalities in their places will recognize. And it may not always be easy. How many know that when Jesus showed up on the scene, wasn't he the nicest, kindest man that you've ever experienced? But why did so many people oppose him? Because the Bible says that this world loves the darkness. It says that they rejected the light. But we have to teach our young people, just because you're light and you're rejected, you keep being the light. Don't compromise for the world. Their destiny is way too important to worry about other people's opinion. We have to teach our young people that God's opinion of them is way more important than what other people think of them. Amen? Light is radiation. Light is illumination. You know, light immediately exposes darkness. So just your presence, and to everyone else here who works a job, just your presence in your office every day is confronting darkness, even without you saying anything. Because when you step into the room, it's not just you. Jesus just walked in the room with you. This is what Jesus said, though. This is where there's a disconnect, and I'm getting ready to close. In Matthew, he says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works. Say works. And glorify your Father in heaven. Now, anytime you start talking about works, it gets tricky, because people think that when you start talking about works, that you're talking about salvation. We're not talking about salvation. Salvation is free. What did the Bible say? It's not about works of the flesh. It's about his grace. Only faith saves us. Amen? That's grace. Salvation is not about works. But faith is all about works. James said, show me your works and I'll see your faith. So faith is the proof that you have salvation. So what happens is, what we do is we have confessing believers that confess, but there's no faith in action. The root word of faith means to be firm in actions. Why was Abraham a man of faith? Because when God told him to get up and go from one place to another, he obeyed him. He was a man of faith because he obeyed God. That is faith. So what Jesus is literally saying is, how will the world know that you have the light if they can't see what you do? See, we go undercover with our Christianity because we're insecure in dark places. But Jesus said, no, let them see your good works. What are your good works? Having been transformed by the word of God, you act differently. How you handle situations. So we got to teach our young people, when you're in an environment, how do you bring light? This is how we teach our young people, to walk out the light. So when young people are in school and everyone is being involved in sexual immorality, they're not. That's being the light. When everyone is gossiping, they're not. That's being the light. When everyone is cheating on a test, they're not. That's being the light. Because you see, it's not just about what we confess. It's about what we do from moment to moment that matters. Because see, the world doesn't read the Bible. They read you. Did you know that in Jesus, you know, we all have a Bible right here. And you know, we do take this for granted. In Jesus' day, a Torah scroll cost a whole year's salary. Most people couldn't afford a Torah scroll. So what Jesus said was, you know what? I'm your Torah scroll. Watch me. Learn from me. And I think that when people see us, see, that's the power of living the word. When you live the word, people see God. Everyone is defined by the thoughts they think, the words they speak, and the things that they do. And we have to establish our young people in the word of God so that they can think properly, they can speak properly, and that they can act properly. Amen? You know, and it's interesting to me, I've been challenged just recently in my own life. You know, I love reading books. Anybody love reading books? You know, it's amazing to me how many self-help books are sold in the world. And as I'm reading these self-help books, I'm thinking like, oh my, you know, all this is just a reproduction of what's in the Word of God. You know, the Bible says, you know, we call it the Bible. The Jews call it the Tanakh, the Holy Scriptures. You know, the Jewish people are some of the most successful people in the world. They're a very small percentage of the population, but they control 60% of the world's wealth. You know why? This. Because you see, there's something in the Bible for everything that you do. I was thinking today, have you ever sat down and think about the wisdom that exists in Proverbs alone? Just the book of Proverbs. The wealthiest man who's ever lived sat down and wrote a book, and we'll listen to Donald Trump teach us how to do finances before we'll listen to Solomon, a God-fearing man who sat down. We have his manuscripts right here. God told him, you will be the richest man to ever live. No one will be richer than you. Everything we need is right here in the Word of God. The enemy likes to keep us out of it because he knows that it brings life. He would rather we succeed through the worldly ways and end up in destruction because, see, here, through the word, you will succeed and have life and not death. And so what we got to do is we've got to teach our young people that everything that you need in life, I'm not saying books are bad. I love books. I love it. But this has to be the most important book that we read. We have got to uphold this book and teach this book and preach this book, because it is the living word of God. Amen? And what we've got to do is we've got to show the world that this is the living word of God. What religion has done is made this book dead. This book is alive. Amen? God still heals. He delivers. He still does incredible wonders. He still does everything that he's done in this book. Amen. We have to believe it so that our young people, when they see it in action, it's real to them. Closing with this, if I were to turn out all the lights in here, there's darkness. Would you agree with this? There's dark. So when God said, let there be light, and he spoke, it doesn't matter where you're at in this room, because it's dark, when light shows up, your eye automatically focuses on the light. Am I right? Because light is always superior to darkness. As a matter of fact, darkness cannot exist where there's light. But if you were to look up into the sky at night, one of the main reasons you can see the stars is because there's darkness around them. You see, darkness is a setup for the light to be seen. See, there won't always be darkness. It's my personal opinion that in heaven we won't even have a shadow. Because the Bible says that Jesus' face is 7 times brighter than the sun. But as long as we exist in this world, there will always be a contrast. That contrast is given to us so that the world can see our light. The dark places we are in every day is there for us to light it up. And that is our mission. Jesus said, be salt and light. Let your good works be seen before men so they may see the light.